Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. This is Dr. Carol Myers from the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, and I'm joining you today from Nashville, Tennessee. Last Sunday, a dear woman I have long admired and liked said, "I can't take this anymore. I'm struggling with everything, not spending time with my family and friends, grim news every day, wearing a mask, and not knowing when I can travel and life will return to normal. This is not uncommon. The stressors are piling up and people are weary as the pandemic rages on." Today, I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Patricia Roberson, a relationship expert and one of the creators of the podcast Attached, and a faculty member in the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Welcome to Health Connections, Dr. Roberson.
Thank you so much for having me. So happy to be here.
Well, you're here to help me discuss what people can do to deal with the challenges associated with the pandemic. During our time together, I understand we're going to talk about resiliency. Mm-hmm. Now, resiliency is the ability to adapt well in the face of adversity and stress. Dr. Roberson, what would you add to that definition about resiliency?
Yeah, that's a really great definition. What I would add is actually one of the best predictors of resiliency is social support. So the people around us. And this is because people with good social support actually have better access to resources, but also people with good social support tend to have better physical and mental health as well.
Can you say more about how we maintain social support during a pandemic?
It can be kind of challenging, but there are some key things that we can all do. Think about checking in and reaching out to people we aren't able to see as often. Try to stay away from broad questions like, "How are you doing?" or "How are things?" These aren't necessarily bad questions, but they tend to solicit kind of broad, shallow responses like, "I'm good," or, you know. If you can, try to have more specific questions, like asking about an event they had, maybe a meeting that you know was important, or an event that their child or grandchild was doing. You can imagine how this can deepen the relationship, but also keeping in touch with people in your social network about these kind of more specific events may also require more regular check-ins. Another thing to think about in keeping your social network strong is actually asking for help. We aren't always maybe the best at anticipating exactly what our friends and family members need. So asking for help can help us effectively support the people that we love around us.
I'm still thinking about my friend, Dr. Roberson.
Okay.
Is there any kind of psychological first aid? I mean, she's really hurting and feeling the weight of the pandemic. What do we do when we have a friend that's in pain like that?
Well, I think listening is really, really important. Listening, keeping your ears open. And remember, people don't necessarily want a solution. Sometimes we really, really want to fix it and we want to give them a solution. But holding back on that solution until it's asked for. They might say, "Do you have any ideas that might help me?" But listening, being an empathetic ear, can really, really be what people need and want during this time.
One of our listeners not long ago contacted me because I had used the term social distancing, a term that he found quite problematic. Can you offer insight as to why the term social distancing is problematic and what's the alternative?
Yeah. During the pandemic, obviously it's critical to practice physical distancing, right? For health and safety, but not social distancing. So when people say social distancing, what they actually mean is being physically apart. But just because we're physically distant doesn't mean we also need to be emotionally, socially distant from one another. We have access to so much technology, as we've kind of alluded to, but we can also connect with others as the weather turns to being maybe not so devastatingly hot as it has been. We can engage in outside activities with others while maintaining that physical distance.
I've been thinking about relationships during the pandemic and there's a bit of a paradox. Part of the issues we have around relationships is maybe too much with the same person, you know, particularly back in the beginning of the pandemic. And then we're also talking about being distanced from other people that we're commonly associated with. So can you talk about how we nurture healthy relationships with those two variations? Maybe too much togetherness and then missing togetherness with others.
You're right. It's very, very different. It's a lot and also maybe not enough in these two different types of relationships, but communication is key in both of these relationships. While maybe not true for everyone, the pandemic has given many the opportunity to connect or reconnect with their spouses and kids, those people that they live with. But it also could be a stressor for others as well. So mitigating that stress with effective communication strategies that we kind of alluded to earlier can be really important in maintaining a happy home life, or even a happy enough home life. I mean, we're not looking for bliss here at this moment. Happy enough is really, really good. I think what we need to also realize is that all of our relationships during the pandemic may look different, and that transition might feel awkward and it might be stressful. But keeping open communication about what's working and what's not working during that transition is really key to coming out the other side of this with strong and more supportive social network, whether it's people we live with or people we don't.
I've noticed another thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we have lots of relationships through work, relationships through social circles, second degree acquaintances. And I have found that in some cases, it's okay that I'm not touching base with some of those folks in the more outer realms of my relationship network. And sometimes I'm looking at, do I care? You know, what is the reciprocal nature and the benefit of this relationship? Could you speak to this? Is this a time to perhaps assess where our priorities are and who we want to spend time with?
Of course, especially as time becomes a limiting factor in the pandemic. So many of us are having, it's like the ultimate work-life balance challenge, right? So sometimes some relationships, especially if they're peripheral, we don't have the time necessarily to invest in them as frequently. Maybe they're relationships that were never really that important to our quality of life and our well-being, but maybe they were in a different way, and after the pandemic, we'll reconnect with them. But I think it's important to be mindful about how we feel about that, right? So not put guilt on ourselves or think negatively about not being able to maintain all of these relationships simultaneously during this time. Give ourselves that little bit of grace to say, that relationship right now, I don't have time to maintain as much. I'm going to focus on keeping the ones in my household or those close to me healthy and as happy as can be.
Now, one of the hallmarks of health connections is we like to leave our listeners with something specific they can do. So when we think about promoting resiliency, what are things listeners should do to promote resiliency during the pandemic? We keep hearing about self-care. Is that important? And what else is important?
Yes, absolutely. Self-care is important. I always think about the airplane metaphor when the oxygen masks pop down. You know, they always say, put the mask on yourself first before you put the mask on a child. And that's because in order to help other people, we have to be healthy. So I always think about that with self-care and thinking about what has been beneficial for you in terms of self-care in the past. Self-care doesn't look the same at all for other people. For some people, self-care is a jog. For some people, like me, self-care is watching one of your favorite TV shows. So it looks very different for different people, and that's okay. What works for you, engage in that. But in terms of relationships also, I have two things that I love to recommend for people. The first one is capitalization. And this is when you capitalize on someone's good news. Let's say you tell me some good news. I would capitalize on that good news by asking you questions about your good news, being genuinely excited about that good news, and congratulating you on that good news. It's better for them, it's better for you, and ultimately your relationship in the long run.
Okay, so self-care and capitalization. What's the third thing you hinted you would recommend to us?
Try new things together. Completing a new activity with your loved one, one that maybe challenges your mind and can also really, really strengthen your relationship. And it could also be a lot of fun. Maybe a puzzle, a scavenger hunt, maybe a new challenging documentary or movie that you discuss afterward. Do something new with your partner, loved one, or social network.
Dr. Patricia Roberson from the University of Tennessee College of Nursing, thanks for being with us today on Health Connections and for your advice about maintaining our own resiliency and the importance of our social relationships.
Thank you for having me.